Let me go right now to line one and bring in John McKee. John, are you with me? Oh, hold on. Now are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Oh, another guy who has a radio voice. See, I don't even need to be here if you can do that. John is lives in LaSalle County and is a member of the Starved Rock Audubon Society, among other organizations. You have been looking at this issue. Do you want me to recap this, or maybe you could tell our listeners, those who aren't familiar with this, about what's been going on in your neck of the woods for the last month or so?
I can do that if you'd like. I don't have exact dates, but in a general timeline, we became aware in, I think, about late October that a sand quarrying company out of Missouri was planning on developing a 300-plus acre quarry on Route 71, a scenic highway area of Route 71 along the Illinois River and adjacent to the eastern end of Starved Rock State Park. The Zoning Board of Appeals hearing on getting in the zoning variation that they need to do this on agricultural land, zoned agricultural, was scheduled to be held in early November, mid-November, somewhere in that neighborhood. And just a couple of weeks after that, the county board was supposed to vote on the recommendation that the Board of Appeals presented to them. So the whole timeline was very, very compressed, and there was very little time for the opponents of this quarry to rally any kind of opposition to it. At the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting in November, we did get enough people to come to the meeting to overwhelm the site, so they had to reschedule it at a bigger site, and that bought us a little bit of time.
So it was kind of an occupy the zoning meeting.
Exactly, and that worked. But the rescheduled zoning meeting in November was a very interesting occurrence. It went on for about 14 hours over two nights, went till midnight the first night and 11 o'clock the next night from 7 o'clock starting time. And obviously the mining company had spent much dollars and much time and had all kinds of experts there to testify that they wouldn't do much harm. And we, of course, not being the professionals, not having a lot of organization or money, just got up and spoke from our hearts that this was not a good place to put a sand quarry. It will create all kinds of negative impacts on the tourism, the environment, the scenic value of the Illinois River Valley in that area and a Starved Rock State Park. The Zoning Board of Appeals ultimately voted to recommend that the zoning variation be approved, and the county board will be voting on that next Thursday night.
That says it pretty well. You've gotten that in very succinctly, John. Great. Let's go to line two at this point and bring in somebody who's certainly going to be affected by that, and that's Merlin Calhoun. Merlin, you own property near where this mine is supposed to be set up. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. We live on top of the bluff. We're adjacent to the property.
It's been tough for you, I would imagine. I've done some digging around. I've talked to a lot of people. Some of you know that. I have to admit, I've spent a lot more time on this story than I have on many others on my show because I wanted to get some background. And a lot of people have confided in me, even those people who said, don't use my name and I won't go on the radio. But they have talked to me about the issue and how they feel. And one of the things that's become really clear is that people like you who own property there are caught between a rock and a hard place, in that you've got land, it's farmland, it's zoned farmland, mining interests are coming in, they're snapping up land. Some people look at it and say, I can't turn down this money, I don't make a lot of money, this is a great thing for me. And others are saying, well, but I want to hold on to this. And it kind of pits those people against each other, but to everybody's credit, nobody's pointing fingers. They're all just saying,
I understand that the earnests, I mean, that amount of money would be so hard to turn down. I can't imagine being put in that situation to choose between being a steward of the land and that much money. I mean, I can't blame the landowners. It's the people that are offering the money, you know.
Well, you know, I went online and I got a link to a similar story from Wisconsin, where they have a lot of the same kind of mining efforts going on. And one of the stories talks about an 84-year-old woman and her husband had Alzheimer's, and they offered her double what her property was worth, and she took it. And said, I assume they're good people. Well, that's neither here nor there. There's a need there.
Mm-hmm.
But
the adjacent landowners, they're really not offering anything. In fact, they've got kind of a little price agreement that they've offered to guarantee that the value of our property won't drop. And even that guarantee, it started out 1% a year. They would have us get an appraisal done of the house, and then that would set or lock in that value of the property, and then they would give you 1% a year increase. 1%, and that's not compounded either. I mean, and at the end of 20 years, my house would only be worth $20,000 more, and you can't tell me a house in America that has only increased 20% over 20 years.
So this is the company is offering you the 1% per year.
Yes.
Because it's their way of saying, we suspect that the property value is going to actually go down, so we'll cover that or part of it.
They're saying, well, it won't go down, but we're going to prove it won't by giving you this deal. But the deal they're giving you is less than what the average appreciation would be on a home.
Yeah.
So it's really, to me, it doesn't seem like much of a guarantee.
All right. So describe for my listeners where your property is in reference to the property that is likely to be turned into the sand mine.
Well, we actually are adjacent to the property on top of the hill, but they're saying that they're not going to mine that. They're going to mine quite a bit of land down below. We live on top of the bluff. We have a beautiful piece of property. It sits way back. We're right on the bluff. We have two large ravines that wrap around the house and a creek.
And I hate to interrupt, but when you say the bluff, you're talking about the Illinois River?
Well, there's a bluff. If you come to the park, most of the bluff, the canyons that people walk through, we're on the top part. We're just sitting right on top of that bluff. There's a canyon right below us.
Okay.
If I might interrupt.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, the mine will be in the floodplain of the Illinois River. It is in the valley of the Illinois River, and it will go over to the base of the bluffs that define the valley of the river.
Mm-hmm.
Merlin's house is on top of those bluffs right above the proposed mine area.
So let me ask you, Merlin, what kind of impact will this mine have on your property?
Well, we as I was saying, that we live on top of the hill, the bluff, and there's a canyon, two ravines that run right behind our house. And in the summertime, actually, just last night, my wife and I were sitting outside, and we're right across from the Widewater. Now that there's no foliage on the trees, you can actually look over and see the Widewater from our house. And you can hear the geese on the Widewater now, and it's just like they're right there. So when there's a processing plant right down below from us, we're going to hear that constantly. Last night when we were falling asleep, we heard a barred owl hooting out behind the house. We're not going to hear that anymore. The reason why we bought this property was, last night my wife, the barred owl we were talking about, I just talked about, my wife said, "Hey, Merlin, look outside." And I got to watch it land on the tree. This morning I got up, there were deer, about a half a dozen deer in my front yard. So we bought this property because of the rural value, and that's going to be gone.
And when you say you're going to hear the processing, I assume, and maybe this is directed more at you, John McKee, that this will be heard by people in Starved Rock State Park.
It certainly would be the adjacent areas of Starved Rock State Park, the east end of the park that are down in the valley more. They have three beautiful canyons and a area called Lone Point Shelter that is a point out into the river that's a very popular fishing and picnicking area. And all of these areas will be impacted by the blasting noise, the processing noise, the heavy equipment noise, the dust that will be raised by this whole operation. Will impact these areas and will impact the visitors to those areas. I might add that those canyons in the park are some of the most beautiful and also the most accessible. Many of the canyons, many of the scenic areas in Starved Rock State Park require a lot of stair climbing and heavy hiking. These are very easily accessed, and for people who can't do the more strenuous hiking, these are the ones that they use most.
You had something, Merlin, you wanted to add in there?
Well, the lights also. I mean, they're saying that they're going to try to keep the lights facing away from 71, which if they do that, then it will be facing directly toward us. But then you also have migratory birds and songbirds that light affects.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really...
This will be a 24-7 operation.
Yeah.
24-7, huh?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. On the line we have right now John McKee, president of the Starved Rock Audubon Society, Merlin Calhoun, who's a property owner along the Illinois River and will be affected by this sand mine. I want to go to we also have Daphne Mitchell online. Daphne, you hang on for a second. I'm going to get to you, but I want to go to Tracy Fox, who's also on the line. You with me, Tracy?
I am.
Great. I want to go back to the scene setter that John McKee did for me earlier, where he described the zoning committee meeting, which turned out to be a bigger deal than they thought it would be, because they had to move the venue. So many people showed up, from what I understand. And then, of course, it went 2 days instead of one. So a lot of people had a lot to say. You were at that meeting, Tracy. You weren't there both days, right? You were there one of the days?
I was there both days.
Oh, you were there both days.
Hearing.
Okay. How would you characterize that hearing?
Well, certainly the mining company had spent a lot of money hiring out-of-county experts to present a very polished case. But looking closely at it, I felt like there were a number of holes in the information that they presented and ways that the Zoning Board of Appeals commissioners could have looked beyond the flashy show and seen really what impacts were not being discussed and the way that the mine would actually interface with Starved Rock State Park certainly wasn't covered at all.
Did he? And yet you had the place packed. It obviously, there was a lot of concern about this, and the Zoning Commission voted unanimously to approve the mine. What did you think about that?
I found it very strange, especially considering that individual zoning commissioners on various findings of fact felt that the applicant, the mining company, hadn't really met their burden of proving that there would be no impact on property value, proving that there would be no impact on the surrounding character of the land, things like that. I find it difficult to understand how a zoning commissioner could have felt that they failed to meet their burden of proof and yet vote to approve the zoning. You know, I have not followed the way that land use regulation has unfolded in LaSalle County. I'm from Peoria County. But down here, if you find that the applicant is remiss or isn't going to be able to guarantee a certain aspect of land protection, you vote against it. So the vote was very surprising to me. I didn't really understand their thinking at all.
Now, I've talked to some folks about this issue, as I said before, and I'm not sure which of you would want to respond to this. Somebody indicated to me that once the zoning board votes, that's the end of the story. And my question was, really? Well, why would you even have a full board vote? What do you know about the way the county board operates vis-a-vis the zoning board?
I can address that a little bit.
Okay, John McKee.
The zoning board recommends, and I think the purpose of the process is for the zoning board of appeals to be the place for all the public hearings and for all of the venting to get done so that the county board doesn't have to deal with it. The zoning board recommends pro or con on a zoning variation, and then the county board votes to accept or deny the recommendation of the zoning board. And they do not necessarily rubber stamp that recommendation. In fact, fairly recently, they overruled the Zoning Board of Appeals on another issue. So we're hoping they will overrule it now. Unfortunately, at the county board hearings, as I said, they feel that we've already all had our chance to say our piece at the zoning board hearings. So they are, at this point, to the best of my knowledge, restricting the number of people that can speak to the county board before they vote to three people. Whether that's three people from each side, I don't know if anybody really knows. It seems to be a very, very vague situation, and in fact, I think their rules state that they don't have to allow anybody to speak before they vote.
That sounds this sounds particularly democratic, doesn't it? Merlin, you had talked to me about this.
Yes, I actually have a few people about this and board members. I'm very upset about this. I feel that this is my property. I should have the right to defend it and should have the right to speak my mind. And I believe that everyone that has anything to do with this, with the park, should be able to speak their mind. I was told that they're only going to allow three people total. Mr. Earnett will be allowed to speak, his lawyer will be allowed to speak, and then the lawyer, Paul Martin, will be allowed to speak.
And when you say Mr. Earnett, you're talking about
the owner of the property now,
who's wanting to sell, who wants to sell to the land.
Yeah.
You know, which raises, and there's so many questions. I could just go on and on, but the other questions that get raised in my mind is, gosh, how many other landowners have been approached? How many other farms have been approached? And what's interesting about the board decision and the zoning decision does not rezone the land to make it commercial. It's a special use permit.
Yeah.
You're laughing, John. Why is that?
Because it's still zoned as agricultural land even after it is dug 90 feet deep and flooded. It is still zoned agricultural land. It's absolutely absurd on the face of it. It's a special use of agricultural land, but that's the way the mining laws and the zoning laws of this state are set up.
Well, the mining laws, the zoning laws, even the environmental laws are lacking to some degree, because Jack Darren, the director of Sierra Club Illinois, was on this program several weeks ago and we talked about this issue. And one of the things he pointed out to me that horrified me was that according to state law, you can't fill a wetland, but you can drain it. I mean, if you're messing with the hydrology by, you know, digging a huge pit, and it just happens to drain a wetland, well, that's sort of collateral damage, and there's nothing that anybody can do about that. Am I right about that, John?
There's no state regulation, to the best of my knowledge, about that, and in fact, that is what the state people have also said. Federal regulations will probably kick in on if they are doing anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they will anyway. The mining company has not yet applied for either the state or the federal permits, the Corps of Engineer permits, that they will need to operate this mine. And if the county board does approve it, I hope that the permitting process turns out to be a real can of worms for them.
All right, I need to take a short break here. Ladies and gentlemen, hang on a second here, okay? I've got more folks, and there's also a rally that's going to be going on. We will get to some other folks about that. Katie Demke Tricoli has put together a Facebook page. She's also a citizen out that way. Joseph Standing Bear from Midwest Soaring Foundation is going to be with us and talk about the impact on the indigenous history of the area. It goes on and on and on. So if you folks will hang on with me, we will continue this conversation. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot.
And a sand mine.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're talking about an issue that got raised several weeks ago and kind of quickly, as John McKee pointed out, if you've been listening to this conversation. If you haven't, there's a plan to put an open pit sand mine adjacent to Starved Rock State Park down in LaSalle County. On the line right now, I've got a bunch of people. I've got John McKee, as I said, president of the Starved Rock Audubon Society, Merlin Calhoun, LaSalle County property owner, who's going to be affected by this, Tracy Fox, activist and technical writer, who testified at the zoning board meeting in December. And Tracy, that was one of the things that, and I'm going to, and also on the line, of course, I have got... and I'm looking at all my list, boy, Daphne Mitchell of the Illinois River Coordinating Council. We'll get to you in just a second, Daphne. Tracy, one of the things that happened is that this all comes up during the holidays, and I've talked to other people about it, and they nod and say, yeah, that's the way those things go. You know, it happens during the holidays, and it gets through quickly, and then boom, you're stuck with an open pit sand mine next to the jewel of the state park system in Illinois. Did you find you were scrambling to get a response together for the zoning commission?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's almost like they have a playbook, and it's one of the things they recommend is to hold these hearings when participation by the public will be absolutely at its lowest. You know, running hearings until midnight really restricts the ability of people from outside the immediate area to participate, and I feel that's fundamentally unfair because Dark Rock belongs to everyone in Illinois, and they should have made some more accommodations rather than holding people there till midnight and, you know, rattling their sabers and saying they were going to continue the hearings till 4 a.m. if necessary.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to try to bring in one more line. If that doesn't work, one of you is going to go on hold, but I'm going to line three. Daphne Mitchell of the Illinois River Coordinating Council. Daphne, are you with me?
I am. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. It's great to have you on the line with the others. Tell me about the Illinois River Coordinating Council.
So for those who don't know, you can go online and just Google Illinois River Coordinating Council, and it will pop up.
And it's on I have a link to it on this week's show on MikeNovak.net. So for folks who want to find it easily, it's right there.
Right. So the Coordinating Council was set up in 1997 by the Illinois River Restoration Act. And, you know, there's a bill number 20 ILCS 3967. and that created the Illinois River Coordinating Council. I'm just going to give a little blurb so people will know. It really is a council. There are several river councils, and this is one of the most important. The rivers and streams of Illinois have long been instrumental in shaping the culture, communities, and commerce of our state. Since the founding of Illinois, the Illinois River and its tributaries have been important to the economic development, recreation, and quality of life of our citizens. Lieutenant Governor Simon chairs the Illinois River Coordinating Council, composed of a deep, diverse group of citizens, non-for-profit organizations, and state and federal agencies. Through a public dialogue, the council coordinates initiatives, projects, and funding to promote the ecological health of the Illinois River and its tributaries by addressing the issues identified in the Integrated Management Plan for the Illinois River Watershed. So that's a lot, but the one thing, suffice it to say, is that there are citizen members on the council as well as members of various regulatory bodies, and I want to point out local, state, and federal. And so when we talk about Starved Rock, and I believe John, someone brought it up, maybe it was John this morning, there are many permits that have to be gone through in different agencies, and none of them have weighed in, particularly, I believe, because of the timing of this. I don't even know if Governor Quinn has been apprised of the situation. Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simon was out of the country. We started trying to get a hold of people in the state offices, and actually Dick Worthen, another citizen member of the Illinois River Coordinating Council, got on the horn with the Sierra Club, and you know that really started the ball rolling on the internet and through Facebook, et cetera, and also ended in a meeting that we had on Friday, an open meeting that was a telephone conference through the Lieutenant Governor's office to discuss the issue.
Now, you have informed me that the Lieutenant Governor's office is going to be represented at next Thursday's board meeting. Is that correct?
In the conference call, the Lieutenant Governor's chief of staff indicated that her plan is to attend the meeting on the 12th. She and someone else from her office, and I know that she will also be trying to contact Governor Quinn. I don't know if there would be anyone from the governor's office there. That is the plan. I can't speak definitely if it will happen, but she did tell the group. And on the phone call, besides citizen members from the IRCC, Illinois River Coordinating Council, there were members of the public because the number was sent out. It was an open meeting, and anyone could join into the conversation. And there were many members of citizens from LaSalle County and others from the state who joined in the call.
Since you represent an organization, and I know it's in the LaSalle area, your membership, but the Illinois River Coordinating Council looks at rivers all over the state, and I feel, as a citizen of Illinois, I'd like to have a say in this, too, because I've been to Starved Rock. I love Starved Rock. There's a lot of people. I should say, by the way, I was in touch with Jack Darren from the Sierra Club last night. He said that 6,000 people have taken action on their website. Now, I don't know if the board, I mean, the idea, if you go to the website, the Illinois Sierra Club, and I put the link up on my website, or you can click on and write a letter, which I've done, to the board to say we don't think this is a good idea. 6,000 people seems a lot for a small county, and it makes me wonder whether they've got it. Will they respond to that? One of the things that seems to be happening here is that there is some public sentiment starting to build against this, and at the very least, my feeling is We need studies. We need to look at that. Would you agree with that, Daphne?
Yes, I would agree. And actually, that is what came out in the conversation with the Lieutenant Governor's office on Friday, was that I believe that the Lieutenant Governor would like time for the agencies to study what the implications would be of this. And that's, you know, there are many agencies. Forget about the Bureau of Mines. There's archaeological surveys, there are IEPA, the USEPA, the Corps of Engineers. The list goes on and on. And with the fact, and also the DNR, which really has two positions here. The DNR will at some point be a part of the permitting process, but also the DNR sits as an adjacent landowner to this mine and, you know, should be in the role of speaking for themselves and the people of not only Illinois. There are many of us that feel that Starved Rock State Park should be a national park. We have no national parks in Illinois. We have a national forest, Shawnee National Forest in southern Illinois. But I believe, and John can probably can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Starved Rock is the second most visited site in Illinois next to Navy Pier in Chicago. It is. There needs to be time for all agencies to weigh in and for experts to weigh in. And I believe the way it was handled with the zoning board was not fair. And I have dealt with the county board and many agencies since the late 70s with environmental groups. We fought the siting of a toxic waste dump on Buffalo Rock starting in late 1979. It took us 20 years to win that battle. We lost the battle in the siting of a siting of a landfill, but won the battle of getting a Superfund cleanup for the radium dial site. So we've been very active here in this county, and we had very active county board members who basically from both parties who would stand up and help support the people of the county. However, this particular group at this time, I don't know what the point is that they don't want to hear from the people and they want to ram this through. I don't know if it's the job situation, which we keep hearing about 39 jobs. I'm in a union family. My husband is union. But do you trade off 39 jobs for hundreds or maybe thousands of jobs when you talk about the tourism and the impact of what will happen if this mine goes in place?
You know, that's a really good point. And maybe John or Merlin, you want to address this. We lost Tracy for a second. I think we've got her back. Do we have Tracy back now? Okay, let's bring in Tracy. And you're here in the... Oh, did we just lose... Okay. Okay. Well,
okay,
we're still working out the bugs. We'll get it. I was wondering if John or Tracy wanted to address that whole jobs issue, because that's what I keep hearing, too, which is, boy... jobs, we're going to get 39 jobs out of that. And I hear that and I think, are you kidding me? We're going to sacrifice our state park, for 39 jobs?
I'd be happy to
go for it, John.
The issue. That is the only real benefit. Hello.
Yeah, you're still there. Go ahead.
Okay. That is the only real benefit that I think the sand company has offered the county. In all of their testimony, many, many hours of it, they offered no other benefit to the residents of LaSalle County except, I think they were saying 35 jobs that night and then a few more at the barge loading terminal. Now, anytime a company is asking for a zoning variance or a TIF district benefit or anything like that, of course they're going to promote the largest number of jobs that they can imagine. Whether or not that many are ever realized is certainly going to be doubtful. And whether or not they will sustain them if they do ever realize them is doubtful. Frac sand could diminish in demand. Efficiencies could allow them to operate their mine with fewer people. So that benefit is the only thing out there. And it is tenuous at best, and it is minimal compared to the impact that this thing will have on the county and actually the whole state. I just can't understand why the Zoning Board of Appeals and the county board seem to be disposed to go ahead and approve this operation. As Daphne said, the job situation must be part of it. I don't think any politician wants to look like he is against jobs and against economic development right now. The unions are putting pressure on everyone to approve it so that they can get some more of their membership.
And how many union jobs will there be? Because they're not all going to be union jobs.
No, they won't all be union jobs.
And you know, I'm a union guy, but, you know, I don't see this as an either-or proposition. And this is, for too many years, decades now, we've been forced to put jobs and environment in either-or propositions, and I'm sick of it. Those days are over. That's not the way it works, okay? We bought that line. People have bought that line for decades, and now we got to prove it's not true. That you can, for one thing, maybe you'll lose jobs at Starved Rock if the quality of the experience declines. And there are, what, 1,200 jobs there, something like that?
Not at Starved Rock.
But connected
jobs,
to?
Tourism jobs in general.
Okay, whatever the number is.
Yeah.
More than 39 is what I would think.
Yes. I would think so. And, Mike, I guess, you know, weighing in, when you go those, Route 71, the scenic route, basically what would happen if that sand mine is there, forgetting about the trucks and everything else that someone will discuss, I'm sure, this morning, is that not only do you have people coming in that are spending money that may not even be noted here when they come and they stay in the little hotels that are in the area and the little inns and stop by the businesses and the grocery stores and come through the towns, through Utica, through Ottawa, especially through Ottawa to drive Route 71. Someone mentioned, I believe it was John, the Lone Point Shelter. The first weekend of June every year, the DNR has the Montreal canoe replicas, and people come for free and ride in the Montreal canoes as when the voyageurs were in Illinois. That's going to be right across from this sand pit, this sand mine, that's going to be blasting and dust flying, et cetera. It's a pristine area right now when you look at it. I mean, when you talk to the ex-ranger, Toby Miller, who was a park interpreter for many years, he retired now, he always would say, look at the South Bluff. Look at the south side of the river. It's just like it was when the voyageurs and the Native Americans were here, where the more industrial sites had been on the north side of the river through the area. That's not going to be anymore. It's not going to be there. We've been fortunate to have such a pristine area for the people of Illinois and other states.
And one thing that hasn't been mentioned, there's a lot going on. If you look at some of the articles that I've posted to this week's show at MikeNovak.net, we have not done a lot of investigation into the effects of these mines. If you look at the Wisconsin episodes, a lot of those people are suffering from effects, possibly suffering from effects that have not even been quantified. And the particulate matter is measured in certain sizes, but not the finest quality. The DNR in Wisconsin admits it's not really set up to do this. I wonder what the DNR in Illinois, how they feel about this, on and on. So it seems more study is necessary. Well, I need to break because I need to get a couple more people on. Katie Tricoli is on the line, and Joseph Standing Bear. We will be back with a conversation about Starved Rock State Park and proposed open pit sand mine. I'm devoting the whole hour to it on the Mike Novak Show, and I hope you'll stick around. Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. It's the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're getting into the end of our first run at the new studios, North Milwaukee in Chicago. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you will go to Facebook and friend the Mike Novak Show. I hope you listen to podcasts when I get them posted. Go to MikeNovak.net. We're on Twitter, and we're talking to folks right now about an environmental happening down in LaSalle County. And I want to go to line 5, I believe, and Joseph Standing Bear, are you with me, Joseph?
Yes.
It's good to have you on the program. You are another with another group that's concerned about this, and that is Midwest Soaring Foundation. What's Midwest Soaring Foundation?
Well, that's where Sailor Ancestors, Remains, and Resources Indigenous Network Group, and we cover anything from burials to sacred sites to environmental issues.
And it's about the indigenous peoples of the area.
Yes, it is.
And how would an open pit sand mine in the Starved Rock area affect your organization and the people that you represent?
Well, I've been listening to the conversation thus far, and that's pointed out, but again, I want to stress the scenic, cultural, and spiritual heritage zone which this is. It's unique to this part of the state, and I think it's something that's well worth saving. Now, as far as our aspect, there's villages that are nearby. Across the river, there's the Grand Village site, and burial sites that are nearby. And also the Consul Caves, which I'm very concerned about. The caves are made of porous material, and I'm afraid that that blasting, which is nearby, will have a detrimental effect on possibly caving those structures in.
The whole area is affected. I mean, we talked about the possibility that there might be other mines in the area. Are you in that whole region aware of sites, archaeological sites, and sacred sites that could be affected?
Yes, there are. There are many.
And we're talking to Joseph Standing Bear from Midwest Soaring Foundation. So what has your organization been doing? I assume you've been part of the board zoning meeting, and we'll go to the board meeting on Thursday?
Yes, I will be there Thursday, and we are part of the rally that happens this afternoon. It's our hope that we can raise awareness of all people of the importance of this particular place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's plenty of places for mines, and I think this is one of the places that definitely should not be.
That should not be mined, yeah.
Should not be mined. And when you think of the after effect, you know, having a hole that's left after 30, 40 years, that's very little to offer our future generations. In fact, we're taught as Native people that we are the stewards of the next seven generations to come. That means anything I do today, I must, in the best I can, safeguard their interests. And this definitely is not in the future's interest.
Let's also go to, you mentioned the rally, so that takes me to line seven. I got so many people here, Katie Dumke-Tricholi, and I think Joseph just got cut off there. we're learning the phone system here, you know, but I've got so many people on the show today that I'm winging it. Katie, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. Thank you for asking me.
No problem. There's a rally this afternoon in Ottawa about this issue.
There is. We quickly put together a rally in the Jordan Block in downtown Ottawa, which is the gateway to Starved Rock. It's at Main and LaSalle Street in downtown Ottawa. And we're just hoping to raise awareness because we don't believe that the public has been fully informed, even though there's been a hearing and the county board, the zoning committee has made their recommendation. It happened over the holidays, and we don't really believe that the public is aware of what's going to happen out at Starved Rock.
What's your particular interest in this, Katie?
Well, I'm a citizen of LaSalle County. I'm a citizen of Ottawa. I've been active in environmental issues most of my adult life. My father was a World War II paratrooper, and he taught me that I had to stand up for things that I believed in, be them right or wrong or controversial. It was my obligation to stand up. So that's what I'm doing today. I'm standing up for all of the people who aren't aware about what's happening to the state park and to the community. I believe that sand fracking is going to be found to be a big problem, and I think that it may go away in large amounts. And I think these are carpetbaggers. You know, they're in to make a fast buck. They're going to rape our land. They're going to leave us a big hole. They're going to file bankruptcy, and they're going to be gone. And then we're going to be left with a hole and a liability. And they've been doing this all over this county and all over this state for years, miners have been. And no one's really been held accountable.
Well, one of the points that is often raised is that you can't find this kind of sand. It's the best sand of its kind in the world, and I'm going back to line three. And John McKee, are you with me, John?
Yes, I am.
You hear that all the time, and is it unreasonable to think that there will be no mining in LaSalle County? You know, where do you draw the line on this?
that is something that we're all struggling with. Yes, the St. Peter sandstone, which is the formation that is being mined here, is the best sand, frac sand around.
And I will just interject that we don't know how long the fracking bubble is going to last either.
That's certainly a big question.
Yeah.
They're finding more and more reasons why it shouldn't be going on.
Yeah.
But right now, my focus is on this particular quarry. This one shouldn't be where it is. I mean, there should not be a quarry where they're going to establish this one. This is wrong in every aspect. Other quarrying potentials in the county have to be evaluated on a one-by-one basis. I don't know if every one of them should be prevented. I really haven't studied the others enough. I do know that most of the other quarrying opportunities will destroy some of the best agricultural land in the world, and this is not a good thing. We need our ag lands. And just on that basis alone, they should not be done.
Well, okay, to wrap up, Katie, give me the information on the rally again this afternoon.
The rally begins at 2 o'clock, and they'll go on until 6 p.m. It's at LaSalle and Main Street in downtown Ottawa, Illinois, overlooking the Illinois River at the gateway entrance to Route 71 in Starved Rock.
And if folks are interested, bring your signs.
Everybody needs to come out, bring their signs, bring your lawn chairs, bring the kids. You know, there's going to be all kinds of people. Bring your guitars. You know, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. Bring your drums. Let's make some noise.
Why not? And let's, Daphne, from what I understand, the board meeting is open this Thursday as well.
Yes, it is. And I believe John said evening, but I think it's at 1 p.m. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, which to me is also an issue because many people work. But the county board meeting is open. It's going to be at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Ottawa on West Main Street because they know there's going to be a big audience.
Okay.
And again, if we can just go back just briefly to county board rules. I know in the past,
you know, I can tell you right now, Daphne, I can tell you right now, you're not going to have time. We're done.
Right.
We are done. Thank you so much. Thank you all of you for being on the show. It's been a remarkable conversation, and I hope that people get involved in this because we need to save that park.